This Doug and Danny podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
It's the Doug and Danny Show, live at Cedar Barn, special edition. It's been a long day, morning show, evening show, but it's worth it. The Royals Caravan is on hand here at Skeeter Barnes until 7:30, and we've got some great folks on hand, including Alex Gordon and Mark Tien. And what's the matter with you?
Did he just play bad medicine?
Yeah.
Where did he? Come on, Derek. Play some Little Wayne or something.
What is wrong with you? Come on, you and your Little Wayne fetish. I'm gonna get you some tickets to a concert somewhere, wherever that may be. I'm gonna guess L.A. or New York is about the only places we're gonna get a Little Wayne concert for you.
Slugger has just entered the building, so I think the kids are excited about that. Come on out to Skeeter Barnes. There's still plenty of time. Royals are on hand right now for about another 45 minutes. A great opportunity to get out and meet some of the guys.
That's right. We're pleased to be joined right now by Ryan LaFever, voice of the Royals, now going to be on television, of course, the voice of the Royals, 40 years Denny Matthews, but Ryan LaFever now, I think we can say, would be the veteran of the Royals broadcast booth. And Ryan, good to catch up with you again.
Doug, Daddy, good to see you. Now, can I call you Daddy?
I've been called a lot of things, so okay. You can call me yes.
It's been a while since I've called somebody Daddy, so this is very exciting for me.
It's kind of a, the you can call me Ray, you can call me Jay thing.
You know, I just came up with a reason why we call you Daddy. We'll have to discuss that off the air. That's a good idea. A lot of things happening. It's about time, I guess, really to get geared up for the Royals again. When this caravan and some stops get done, it's very few days until spring training gets underway. You won't have much time of vacation left, will you?
No, the first of the year until spring training goes by pretty quick. And, of course, we love every moment we can get during the off season, because during the season it is a marathon. When you begin spring training and go through the season, and we have that one little all-star break, that when the off season comes up, even though we all love to do what we do, you want to make sure you get in as much time as possible. But when you do events like this and people are showing up with the numbers like we're seeing here tonight, and we've been in Hastings today, we've been in Beatrice today, we've had huge turnouts, we had the first ever Royals Fan Fest over the weekend, great turnouts there. It starts to get you pumped up and think, okay, maybe I'm ready to go to spring training. Maybe I'm ready to see some green grass.
Now, during the season, we always talk just about the team, just about what's going on. So take us a little bit behind the life of the broadcaster, because we always hear that there's time to get out and golf. There's always the good eating wherever you go. How much of that are you able to partake in, and where's the best place to go hit the long ball, and where's the, obviously, I suppose, if you can take
the massage parlor,
yeah, that's right. Where Pac-Man hangs out, you know.
Well, typically my day, I like to get up early and get my work done in the morning, have some breakfast, get a little exercise, and I'll take a little, maybe a short nap before I go to the ballpark, because I find that I have better energy if I get some sleep at night, get a little rest before I go to the ballpark, as opposed to sleeping in all day. And because you can do that if you want to, when you don't have to be at the ballpark anywhere from 3 to 4 o'clock.
Yeah.
But I'll get to the ballpark, and if it's a television game, I'll go into the production truck and talk to our producer, Kevin Schenk, and just go over some of the elements we want to do. And if it's a radio game, I'll go grab my mini disc recorder and go down and get an interview for the pregame show. And then I like to just hang around the field during batting practice and talk to the guys. I'll have some questions. I'll try and look ahead a little bit about matchups or what happened the night before or what might happen tonight. Those are little tidbits I try and use on the air. Then we go up, and usually every stadium has a media dining room where they feed us, and we'll have a nice meal, and then we begin our pregame show. But we get to travel with the guys. We're on the charter, and we do stay at nice hotels, and we don't have to handle our suitcases very often. And this will be my 14th year total, so I've been to these cities over and over again, and there are places where we like to eat and get together. And it is. I mean, it's a wonderful life, but it's a long season. It really is. And once you get to July and August, and it'll wear you down a little bit. And it is a job. But it's 7 straight months, 7 months without a weekend, working mostly nights. 4 of 7 months, you're away from home. One off day about every 2 weeks. The only time we have back-to-back off days is the All-Star break. So it is it is a marathon.
Ryan, talk a little about working with Danny Matthews, a 40-year veteran, a Hall of Famer. How much did he help your professional career?
The biggest thing Denny helped me out with was when I was with the Minnesota Twins before coming to the Royals, you know, I played in college and briefly in the minor leagues, but I'd never played in the big leagues, and I have a lot of respect for guys who have played in the big leagues, and perhaps in Minnesota, too much respect, because when there was an opportunity for me during the radio broadcast or the television broadcast to add my own analysis, I was very hesitant because I didn't think I had the credentials to do that. So I come to Kansas City and I take the radio job to work with Denny. And what I noticed about him is that we don't interact on the air as much as some radio teams do because, quite frankly, I don't really jump in on Denny unless I have something to add that he hasn't said. Well, that doesn't happen very often because he's very complete. But he would call the play and then he would give his analysis. And I thought, you know, here's a guy who's been, he played college baseball like it, but here's a guy who's played baseball, maybe not at the highest level, but he's been around the game, he's been around players, he's been around coaches, he's read, he's done his homework, and if he has analysis, then go right ahead and throw it in there. And so he kind of helped draw more of me, my personality and the knowledge that I have, out of myself and made me a more complete broadcaster.
Ryan Lefevre is joining us, Royals broadcaster. We're at Skeeter Barnes, where the Royals caravan is in town until 7:30 tonight. So come out and grab some autographs, get some pictures. Alex Gordon's here, Mark Tien's here, and then of course you got the big fella, Daddy's biggest hands ever, John Mayer.
John Mayer has got to have the biggest hands I've ever seen,
and soft hands too. The video I've seen of him, and what I remember about him digging balls out of the dirt.
Yeah,
for a big guy, very soft hands.
What do you learn?
Especially when he rubs the back of his hand up against your cheek.
Time to get up. Ryan, what do you learn from some of these Hall of Famers or elders in the game?
Well, I think the best information that I get is just talking to guys and asking them questions about the game, about their lives, about what interests them. I grew up in Los Angeles listening to Vin Scully, who I think is... you know, I'm biased, but I think is the best ever. But what I believe makes him so good is that he takes something extraordinary and makes it sound ordinary. So he'll take a guy who we've put on a pedestal because he's a professional athlete and a multimillionaire and accomplished in what he's done, and he'll make him sound like a regular person because in most cases when they get away from the ballpark, they're pretty regular. And he does a wonderful job of introducing you him in a way where you really start to pull for the guy because you feel like you know him. And so that's what I learned from him and what I loved about him. And so when I go down to the field and just converse with players and coaches and managers or other broadcasters, other Hall of Fame broadcasters, just keep my mouth shut and my ears open because it sounds better to say I was talking to Alex Gordon before the game and he told me that when he was growing up in Lincoln, his favorite player was da-da-da-da, and then he got to play against him, blah-blah-blah, as opposed to saying Alex is hitting 350 in day games after night games. And, I mean, stat. There are some stats that are meaningful. But there's the great Vin Scully line. He says, some of us, meaning broadcasters, use statistics like a drunk uses a light post. For support, not illumination. I thought perfect. Good way to put it.
You know, you say that statistics after statistics, and I look at that Royal scoreboard a lot of times, and somebody will be struggling, and they'll be like, you know, on Tuesday night games, over the last four Tuesday night games, this guy's 5 out of 8.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking,
and that's great,
wow.
But it's Thursday. That's wonderful.
It may be Tuesday night. He's still hitting 168.
Yeah.
He's still at 168.
350 with the bases loaded, but he's up with a runner at first. So, yeah.
Ryan Lefevre joins us. Let's talk a little bit about what you're seeing from the team from the end of last year to where we're at right now and some of the changes, your thoughts kind of going into 2008 spring training.
Well, there's two ways to look at it, Doug. First of all, the optimistic and perhaps the most logical way, and that is that these guys are just going to get better because, you know, Alex had a full season in the major leagues. Billy Butler had a good chunk of the season in the major leagues. Tony Pena Jr. has had a full season in the major leagues. Joaquin Soria, Brian Bannister, and then guys who've been around for a while, John Buck and David DeJesus. So it's easy to assume, and you hope that they're just going to get better. And I think these young players have the talent to do that. However, there's also the possibility that as you get better as a young player, the league, the rest of the American League teams, will spend more time on you. They'll watch a little bit more video on you. They'll spend more time with the scouting report trying to break down what your strengths and weaknesses are. And so there's a few guys that are going to notice a little different approach. And in the past, we've seen young guys come up to the big leagues, and you think, oh, hey, so-and-so, and of course my mind's blank now, but I'm sure if I took some time, I could think of 10 guys where we thought, hey, this guy's going to get better this year. The league adjusted to their strengths and weaknesses, and then all of a sudden, you know, fall into oblivion. So there might be a little bit of an adjustment period for guys like Alex and Billy to just see what the league's doing to them. But in the end, I really think that they have the ability and the smarts to counter-adjust what the league will do.
Right, and I think here in Nebraska, of course, everybody follows Alex so closely.
And I don't know why, because he's from California. That's a little known fact about Alex, is that he's from California.
The spotlight, and it shines so brightly on last year. You got to see him day in, day out last year, and maybe the maturation process that you saw, maybe his approach at the plate, for instance. He got off to such a terrible start and maybe pressed a little bit early on, but boy, came on super late in that season. Well, until the last inning.
What a story, huh? I mean, if that's not a perfect portrayal of Yogi Berra, it ain't over till it's over. Top of the ninth inning, two outs, two strikes on the hitter. I mean, the season is just about over. And the last ball put in play, well, of course, there was a play after that, goes right off of his nose. But I'll tell you what, Daddy, and that's just so, it's going to take me a while to get used to that. For the rest of my life, when I think of Alec Gordon, I'm going to think of opening day. And if you're a Royals fan, whether you're a hardcore Royals fan or just kind of a middle-of-the-road Royals fan, you knew how important Alex Gordon was to the Royals and to the future of the Royals and how important he was to, you know, getting the Nebraska region interested into the Royals. I mean, he opened up a lot of doors for us on radio and television when we drafted him. But when he went to the plate on opening day, bottom of the first inning against the Red Sox, bases loaded against Curt Schilling, and got a standing ovation, for me, was the loudest one I've heard at Kauffman Stadium for one individual. I think that was an eye-opening experience for him and for everybody else. He fouled off five or six pitches, had a great at-bat, ended up striking out, gets another standing ovation on his way back to the dugout. And I think for Alex that was, well, okay, I see that I'm kind of a big deal around here. And it probably took him a couple of months to get over, you know, the excitement and trying to live up to that type of
expectation. Well, that'd be so overwhelming.
Well, he's a human being. I mean, as successful as he is or has been in his career, he's still a human being. I mean, who wouldn't get excited? But then the batting average was around 170 going into early June. And maybe Alex said to himself, you know, I'm not going to win the Rookie of the Year. I'm not going to hit 30 home runs. I'm not going to have 100 RBIs. Let's just go play some baseball. And he had a four-hit game in early June at Cleveland. He hadn't even had a three-hit game yet, let alone a four-hit game. And from that point forward, he just kind of relaxed. I think he had 285 the rest of the way. He was great on defense. But I'll always remember, and he and I have talked about this too, that opening day standing ovation. I think if he would have had a less ovation than that, he may have had a better first 2 months of the season. But in the end, I guarantee you, if we're doing this show 5 years from now in the caravan, Alex will look back on that and probably be grateful for those first 2 months, because I'm sure he learned a lot about the game and himself.
Have you talked with him, because I'm sure this is something that he's not going to talk about openly, but the comparisons with George Brett and all that and leading into that standing ovation, have you talked to him? Has he ever commented to you guys about that?
You know, the thing about Alex, he's just such a cool kid. I mean, he doesn't show a whole lot of emotion either way. I mean, that's one thing that's going to serve him well, and I think served him well last year in his first big league season, is that he's got that even keel thing figured out already. You don't see him bouncing off the walls with a big grin from ear to ear if he goes 4-for-4, and you don't see him hanging his head if he goes 0-for-4 with a couple of strikeouts. So he's got that part figured out, and I think working out with George in the minor leagues and in spring training is going to help him too, because it's not like he's chasing and trying to copy some mythical figure. And I guarantee you that George has given him advice, hey, just play your game, do what you do best. And as we just discussed, I'll bet that the first 2 months of last season probably showed him firsthand that when you try and do, you know, that great baseball cliche, you know, try to do too much. Yeah. Well, what does that mean? Try to do too much means you're trying to do more than what you're capable of doing. And when Alex just started to play his game, 285 in the big leagues, that's good for most hitters.
I think, yeah, you're exactly right. And the way he finished the season, other than the broken nose, and that was, you know, I think he left a smile on his face and a little bit of momentum hitting into this year. I think you look at this team overall, and we ran down the positions earlier. You look at the outfield. I think one of the best in baseball, really, from a talent perspective. Tien led the majors for a lot of the year last year in that outfield assists put out. You get Guillen. You get a DeJesus back. I just think that's such an exceptional outfield. You get the right-hand bat again. That's going to be so huge for this team. Pitching seems to be the question mark. You've got three guys kind of locked in, but those fourth and fifth guys, they've got to get into the sixth and seventh inning for this team to be successful. Is that how you see it?
Yeah, this is the best 1-2-3 we've had since I've been here. This will be my 10th year with the Royals. And there's some ability there for the other spots. It's kind of a nice situation to be in because there are some good options. We're not just looking at, well, we've got 1-2-3 and then, you know, whatever warm bodies we can come up with will fill out the fourth and fifth spot. I mean, we've got Luke Hudson coming back from surgery, and he was great 2 years ago, may have been the Royals' most consistent pitcher. Kyle Davies, kind of hoping that he does what the Braves hoped that he would do, really didn't put it together with the Royals after being traded last year. Brett Tomko was just signed today by the Royals. He has major league experience. And Luke Hochaver, first overall pick a couple of years ago, he showed some signs of really turning the corner at the end of the year in the minor leagues and then in September with the Royals. But I think the Royals are really going to try and get at least one, maybe two lefties somehow in the rotation with Jorge De La Rosa, who had a pretty good April and May and then had control problems, and maybe even John Bale, who pitched out of the bullpen. And the American League Central has some thumpers from the left side. I mean, Cleveland's got Travis Hafner and Grady Sizemore. Minnesota's got Justin Morneau and Joe Mauer. Chicago has Jim Thome. Detroit is mostly a right-hand heavy team, but when you are going to face that many lefties in a lineup who can do that much damage, it'd be nice to have at least one in the rotation. So I think if anyone's going to get the benefit of the doubt going in to fill up those two spots, it would be a lefty. But who knows? I think in the end, Dayton Moore and Trey Hillman are the type of guys who are just going to take the best five.
Ryan Lefevre joins us from the Kansas City Royals. I know it might be a little early, but what's going to be deemed a successful season in Kansas City this year?
500 or better. Because if you want to get to a spot where you're contending for a division and then in the playoffs, you have to prove you're a winning team. And very few teams go from below 500, 90 losses, approaching 100 losses, to winning a division championship. And if they do, it usually doesn't last very long because you don't know how you did it. A more logical way is the way Minnesota did it, the way Cleveland has done it, where you just get a little bit better, you look better, then you cross that threshold of being a winning team. You're winning more games than you're losing, and then a winning atmosphere is created. And then you can make that big jump. Case in point, 2003. Royals had lost 100 games in 2002. All of a sudden, they almost won the division in 2003, and they go out and they get Juan Gonzalez and Benito Santiago and Matt Stairs and Scott Sullivan, and here come all these veterans, and then a 100-loss season. And I think a lot of it was because it was such a crazy year that you really couldn't trace the history of how the Royals went from 90 and 100 losses to a winning season and almost winning the division. It wasn't a gradual progression. So I think this team has a chance to play 500 baseball, possibly better than 500 baseball. I don't think, you know, I would take my house to Vegas and bet it on the Royals, but it is possible. Remember last year the Royals got off to a slow start the first 5 weeks of the season, then they played over 500 for over 4 months, and they tailed off in September. I think some of the younger guys, you know, getting used to that 6 month of the season. So they proved last year that they can play a long stretch above 500.
You bring up Matt Stairs. Have you ever saw somebody take a cut like him? It hurts my back watching the guy.
It's a heck of a nine iron.
Yeah, he really is not a very tall guy. I mean, he's probably about 5'9" now. He's
very compact.
He's proportionate. But
he's no Prince Fielder.
Yeah. He certainly would make a pitcher think twice about throwing one right down the middle because Matt Stairs is not going to stand there and take a look at it. But he was a fun guy to have around. I mean, his personality matched his swing. He was kind of an all-or-nothing type of a guy no matter what he was doing.
Ryan, we asked Mark Tian a little bit ago, of all the great ballparks you get to see, and I think a lot of baseball fans, that's one dream, you know, a lot of people have is getting around the country and getting to see the different spots. What's your favorite ballpark on the road that maybe gives you a breath of fresh air in August and September when the dog days come?
Well, you use that as a cliche, a breath of fresh air, but truthfully, Seattle is my favorite because it truly is a breath of fresh air, and there's no better place to go then Seattle in the middle of the summer in July or August. I think here we go in April, and we're there for 2 days, and then we don't go back again. But I can think of times where we've gotten the plane in Kansas City when it's been 147 degrees for a day game, humid. You go out to Seattle, and you breathe in that Pacific Northwest air coming off the Puget Sound. And, I mean, it literally is like taking a deflated basketball and pumping some air into it. I mean, it is truly a breath of fresh air. The food's great in Seattle. That ballpark, you walk into that ballpark and you walk around it, and you can see why it was $100 million over budget, because they didn't miss a corner in that stadium. And they have the retractable roof. I mean, it really is a beautiful stadium, a beautiful city.
Long road trips, long season, great homestand. Hopefully a baseball team that's going to be pointed in the right direction again this year. Looks like it should be a great season. And, Ryan, thanks for giving us some time. Hopefully we'll get a chance to chat with you when the season's rolling.
Well, you have my home number.
Daddy has
threatened to call. I don't know, though, if my greeting, I'll have to check. I think I say leave a message. I'm not sure I say I'll call you back. But
we're persistent devils. This Derek. Pushing the buttons back there, boy, over and over and over. Finally, it's like,
just
okay, I'll talk to you.
Yeah.
What do you need, 5 or 7 minutes?
Well, I look forward to talking to you guys. Good to see you.
Ryan, thanks so much. We're going to take a break here on the Dougie Daddy Show, Royal Winter Caravan, live from Skeeter Barnes here until 7:30, so you still got some time to get out here. Great crowd on hand. $9.99, the four-bone rib dinner tonight. Kids' meals, 99 cents. We will take a break. We'll be back with more on this special Dougie Daddy Show here on ESPN Radio.
Look what the guys on the team gave me.
Well, let's try it.
A safe bet anytime.
Doug and Daddy Show, ESPN Radio Superstation.
Not just today or this weekend, but years from now. In other words, are you fit enough to live to see some of the exciting moments yet to come? Is a few dollars a month now worth the priceless times ahead to see graduations, weddings, and grandkids? Stop by the Kearney Family YMCA during the Pay the Day membership campaign, because through January, the price you pay for the building fee is the date. So it's never more than $31 all month. And the sooner the better. No cumbersome contracts, and your membership can be paid in easy monthly installments. Hurry, the sooner you join, the more you save.
Plain Jane's candles are hand-poured and made with the highest quality products available. Choose from over 90 different scents with new scents added often. They use a specially blended wax for maximum scent throw and even burning. They also use low-smoke, lead-free wicks for optimum wax pool. Plain Jane's candles make a wonderful gift. And right now, you can save 50% off candles at Plain Jane's in Grand Island. Just log on to ESPNSuperstation.com and click on the Super Deals icon. You can get $50 worth of gift certificates for just $25. ESPNSuperstation.com.
More exciting high school basketball comes your way later this week right here on ESPN Radio. Tuesday night, the Kearney Catholic Stars will be traveling to Gibbon to take on the Buffaloes. The girls at 6:15, the boys at 8 o'clock. On our sister station, Power 99 FM, Tuesday night, it'll be another Lou Platt Conference doubleheader as Centura travels to St. Paul. And on Thursday, a Fort Kearney Conference doubleheader as Pleasanton is at Kennesaw. It's high school basketball this week. Keep it right here for all the action.
Pinnacle wants the Cozad basketball team to know that all their fans are thrilled to cheer for them and are wishing good luck in the Southwestern Basketball Conference Tournament. From Tenneco and Cozad, manufacturer of ride control products, our pride is in our people. Our proof is in our product. Our mission is go. Midwest Truck and Trailer Repair is wild about the Gothenburg Swede basketball teams and knows that everyone will be cheering for them. Good luck in the Southwestern Basketball Conference Tournament. Midwest, your complete truck and trailer repair service at 310 Cottonwood Road near the Frito-Lay plant in Gothenburg.
If you're looking for a job in broadcasting, check the Nebraska Broadcasters Association website. You can list your availability, and you can check current openings. Go to www.ne-ba.org and click on the job bank. That's www.ne-ba.org. KXPN and other Nebraska Broadcasters Association members are equal opportunity employers.
Dad, can we always play catch together?
We sure can, son. After all, this is the good life.
Can we have the good life longer?
Of course. And to make sure, I invested in Nebraska's long-term care savings plan. So if your mom or I ever need long-term care, we'll have plenty of options.
I'm Nebraska State Treasurer Shane Osborne. Nebraska's long-term care savings plan is a tax-deductible way to save for your future to ensure that you'll live the good life longer. Visit thegoodlifelonger.com.
Sponsored by the Nebraska State Treasurer's Office and aired in cooperation with the Nebraska Broadcasters Association and this station.
We all live with the objective of being happy. Our lives are different and yet the same. Anne Frank. We live in a world of diversity. We are all different people with different dreams, hopes, and beliefs. And yet we all strive to be happy. Do your part to help make others happy. Accept and include all who are different, and you too will be accepted and included for the individual you are. Diversity. Different and yet the same. This public service announcement is sponsored by Kearney Area Chamber of Commerce Diversity Task Force.
Welcome back to the Doug and Daddy Show, special edition from Skeeter Barnes in Kearney, where the Royals winter caravan is continuing in the Tri-Cities. And we will be here with the Royals until 7:30. We invite you to come on out, get some autographs. Still got a good line here, so I'm guessing if you sneak into the back of the line, they're going to let you come through. Alex Gordon, Mark T, and John Mayberry. We've got Dean Taylor, the general manager for the Royals. Ryan Lefevre, who we just talked to, from the Royals Radio Network and now Fox Sports Network. We'll be able to watch the Royals this year in some brand-new enhanced television, not just some games in HD, but they're taking it up a notch for what they're doing there on TV. And hopefully, Daddy, what everybody is saying is to just continue to get the Royals better, continue to get the Royals better. And everybody wants to root for Kansas City Royals so bad. I still even fans want to get their kids involved with the Royals, but you know how it is, as we said. You know, when you're a young kid, you want to be involved with a winner. Well, when we were young kids, the Royals were winners.
They really were, year in, year out. That's when we grew up, Royals on radio, and you became a part of that team. Listen to Denny Matthews and Fred Wagner.
Denny was darn near a rookie when I started listening, evidently, you know, when I was about 5 or 6.
Douglas, you're a little bit older than I. Yeah, I kind of joined in, you know, a little bit later, but you were the Royals. You know, the whole time we were growing up, they were pretty darn good, and they've fallen off really since about 90. 90, nothing real good happened for this squad as far as winning divisions and whatnot. But look to be on the right track. It'll be interesting to see. A home opener happens to be on April 8th with the Yankees in Kansas City. It is an afternoon game, 3:10 go time, and then followed by two night games with the Yankees, and then Minnesota comes in for the weekend series.
Now, this is one of those years where Kansas City Royal fans, you take a look at what's going on in the schedule, and the Yankees come in to open the season in Kansas City, as you said. That is the opening series of the season, and then the Yankees do not come back to Kauffman Stadium. They were there two times. They were there two times last year, but how cruel, and that's just, we're going to get to that on one of our regular shows from 11 to 12 every weekday here on the Doug and Daddy Show. But how bogus is that? How bogus is that? The Yankees open up Kansas City. You don't see them the rest of the year. And let's face it, what are the odds that it's going to be really, really nice that first week in April or second week in April when the Yankees come rolling in?
They have 13 days straight to start the season before they get an off day.
Well, you know, you're going to play Cleveland and Minnesota and Detroit a 100 billion times. Why wouldn't that be the opening series? I mean, these schedulers, I mean, they open with Detroit and Minnesota on the road, then they come back with Minnesota, and then see Cleveland later in the month. But, you know, how hard would it be to open up with, play everybody in your division three times? You know, six games home, six games on the road. No, doesn't take a lot of genius to figure that out. But anyway, just a thought. If you want to see the Yankees at Kauffman Stadium, though, this year, you've got to go that first
first session of the season.
He's got to go see the, you know, the Yankees, you know, and they've got off pretty good starts record-wise because they've been playing teams like the Royals, and one of the reasons the Royals get behind the eight ball right away. But you know what? They got 13 games in a row. If you can kind of weather the ship through those 13, then you're home for Cleveland and Toronto, two teams that you hope to contend with day in and day out.
Well, that's the thing about Major League Baseball. If you are going to be that up-and-coming ball club, you usually pull the surprises in the first couple of weeks of the season. And I mean, you got to get off to a good start. Somebody surprises the first of the season every single year.
Well, yeah, and you know, Ryan LaFever's saying since he's been here in 10 years, it's undoubtedly the best pitching staff, especially 1-2-3 punch that they've had. And
yet.
Yeah,
just saying the best 1-2-3 that they've had in 10 years does not make them an all-star pitching staff.
No, but it gives you three very, very capable people of going out and winning ball games. Where I think even the second, third day out, you know, last year Mesh and then Brian Banzer, what's a huge surprise.
I'll tell you one thing that the Kansas City Royals have going for them, and I haven't even heard this name brought to you all day, Jimmy Gobble. Of our favorite Royals, haven't heard his name mentioned today as Jimmy Gobble, and I guess I haven't checked it deep enough into the roster. But did they get rid of Mr. Gobble?
I think Jimmy Gobble has been traded, I believe.
I'm going to have to double check that. I will double check that tomorrow and make sure.
I'm going to check that right now, Douglas.
Okay. Daddy en route, taking care of a lot of things of what's going on here. We still have some time until 7:30 at Skeeter Barnes here in Kearney. Glad to have you along with us. It has been a great crowd. If you're heading home from Skeeter Barnes, been out here already, got your autographs, got your pictures, got something to eat, it's been a pleasure to have you out here. Thanks for coming out and supporting this event, a great event, being part of the community and seeing what's going on. If you haven't got here yet, you still have time. If you're in Kearney, you still have time to get in your car and get out here. They're here till 7:30, and there's still a little bit of a line here, and so they would love to have you come on out and see the Kansas City Royals.
Okay, I double-checked on Jimmy Gobble. He is still with the Royals. I apologize. I'm going to blame that on my friend Russ. Russ, don't tell me he was tricked. He told me that this afternoon.
Where is Russ?
Well, he's
loser.
Yeah, whatever.
Exactly. All talk, no walk. That's fine. You can email us anytime, douganddaddy@espnsuperstation.com. You know, we haven't checked in with Derek back at the station, except during. Derek, how's it going?
Everything is going good here, guys.
You got any email you want us to read?
No, I don't. The email box looks pretty clear.
Attaboy, that's what we like to hear. More Doug and Daddy show tomorrow. Connie Yorey, the Nebraska women's basketball coach, going to join us. Plus, don't forget, this Friday is ESPN night at the Storm, and we have the Godfather's Competitive Eating Contest, where we're going to be eating pizza this time around. So we're going to be bringing you the pizza eating contest, and we're going to qualify somebody each show here coming up this week to get you to fill in those four spots. You can send us your email as well, douganddaddy@espnsuperstation.com. So that's coming up this week. But Connie Yorey among our guests tomorrow, and we'll give you a chance to win some tickets. Alex Gordon, you know, that's one thing about these guys. This would be just an hour. And, I mean, they came from Hastings, and they've been in Beatrice, but this is very tedious. But I assume the more they love it to hear things are going well, and I think they're doing a great job. They just do a great job, very time-consuming, a lot of things going on, but, boy, do they love what's going on here.
Yeah, they're having some fun. Getting to take a few pictures with the kids, and they have a good time. You've got about 20 days till pitchers and catchers. I believe they report on the 11th of February, and so you got 20 days from today. 20 days, and you're busy, like you said, for 7 months. It is every day, day in, day out. You're at the ballpark. You're taking batting practice. You're fielding ground balls, and it's a good time to get out and get some of the fans just relax a little bit.
Well, let's take one final break here on the Doug and Daddy Show, and we will be back at Skeeter Barnes in Kearney, where the Royals winter caravan is. Stop for this second, third leg in the Tri-Cities. Already been in Hastings. They're here in Kearney tomorrow. They're at the West State Street McDonald's from 11 to 12. And we will be back at Skeeter Barnes right after this.
You're listening to the Doug and Daddy Show on Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
There's just not enough O's in smooth to describe this show.
This is Tom Craig, number 9 of the Tri-City Storm, and you're listening to Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstations, 1460 and 1550 AM.
slight chance for a few lingering snow showers tonight, then we'll see mainly cloudy skies clearing a bit throughout the night, lows down to minus 1. Tomorrow, partly cloudy, 25, clouds begin increasing again late and a bit breezy. I'm meteorologist Laura Betker. Right now, it's 9 degrees.
Back on the Doug and Daddy Show special edition from Skeeter Barnes here in Kearney. Glad to have you along with us. 1-888-455-ESPN is always the phone number. And, of course, the email address is always DougAndDaddy@ESPNSuperstation.com. DougAndDaddy@ESPNSuperstation.com. Daddy, people were coming over and asking us during the break, did you ever believe there were this many Royals fans out there? We know they're out there. But they have come out in droves tonight, and we sure thank everybody and hope that everybody has enjoyed the time here at Skeeter Barnes.
Yeah, it's just a great opportunity. The guys take their time. They'll visit with you. Just the line's so long, they would normally visit with you. I mean, if they had a little bit more time, but the line's backed up out to the door still here tonight. I think they're about ready to wrap it up. John Mayberry, Assistant General Manager Dean Taylor, Mark Tian, and Alex Gordon all signing autographs here tonight.
Well, we're always glad to have the Royals, and again, your home for Royals on radio in 2008. It's right here on Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation, 1460 and 1550, KXPN Kearney and KICS Hastings. We're going to be more than happy to bring you Royals baseball throughout the spring, the summer, and hopefully maybe even a little bit later on in the fall. Wouldn't that be something?
Yeah, that would be a special treat for all Royals fans that have waited an awful long time for that to happen.
Daddy, I think the thought that we are getting, even asking Ryan Lefebvre, says 500 or better will be a successful season. Well, obviously 500 is not going to get you to the playoffs. A little better probably not going to get you to the playoffs. The Royals are in a division right now. You would have to think they would have to win to make it to the playoffs with the way the Yankees and the Red Sox continue to battle, although the Yankees didn't win. And then you've got all these good teams that are here in the Central Division. The Royals maybe a couple of years away, 3 years away, making a serious title run. But I'll tell you what, we're in a lot better shape, the Royals, than where the team was 5, 6, 8 years ago.
Well, I think you go around a general Royals fan, and you don't have to be a monster Royals fan to be excited and to name play. I think you go back 3, 4, 5 years ago, name 5 Royals. Even a casual Royals fan, they couldn't do that.
Sweeney.
Sweeney.
Yeah, it would be pretty tough. Man. Boy, that's interesting, Daddy. I guess if you thought about all the Royals that you've been naming off today as you're going around the horn in your head, were any of them here?
Boy, no. No, none of them.
Was Mankiewicz here about 4 years ago before he moved on? That'd be one.
Mankiewicz would have been the one.
Jimmy got on the pitching staff, by the way.
Yeah.
But that pitching staff, who was the tall closer that we had? The 6'10", 6'7" guy?
I didn't know where I was going.
Wow. Exactly. He'd come in and strike you. He'd come in three down you, or it'd be 90-90.
He'd strike out the first two guys on 7 pitches. Then he'd walk the bases loaded to hit some guy in the winning run and score.
It was very, very exciting, I guess. And hopefully we can have it very exciting for other reasons here on the Doug and Daddy Show and Royals baseball coming up through 2008. Again, Skeeter Barnes is where we are at. We want to thank all the fine folks here. Still great meal specials tonight. Kids' meals are just 99 cents. 99-cent kid meals tonight in conjunction with the Royals Caravan being in town, and a 4-bone rib dinner, which comes with 2 sides, just $9.99. $9.99 tonight, 4-bone rib dinner, comes with 2 sides here at Skeeter Barnes. Well, we are thankful that everybody came out tonight. We want to thank the fine folks that have been here. We had a chance to talk to Assistant General Manager Dean Taylor. We also talked with Mark Tien. We also talked with Ryan Lefebvre. And we're going to have a lot more Royals talk tomorrow. We'll see you again at 11 a.m. Thanks for coming out. Special Doug and Daddy Show here at Skeeter Barnes. A lot of fun, Tony.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. Good to see the guests. I think they're enjoying it as well.
We will see you tomorrow. I want to thank Derek back at the station for taking care of us again tonight. And, folks, enjoy the rest of your evening from Skeeter Barn for the Royals Winter Caravan with Alex Gordon, Mark Tien, and John McBerry all on hand. We'll see.
You've been listening to a Doug and Danny podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
Oh, darling, I feel like amazing.
Don't make me do that again.
Game over.